El programa está dedicado a Pa Vallecas, a todos y todas las que saben que imposible es nada y que juntas lo podemos todo.
Eres un gato observando el horror. Hay quien te mira y se frota las manos. Los otros evitan la conversación y hay algunos que se arrojan desde el balcón. De pronto un ruido, un motivo de celebración. Vienen de frente gigantes de azul, con las bocas llenas de su democracia. Pero el miedo ha dejado de ser la actitud, suena en cada cabeza un hermoso rum-rum. Nos quieren en soledad, nos tendrán en común. Ven ya que aquí estamos a salvo, hoy esta nueva canción. Y en cuanto termine, que empiece la resituación. Lo llaman el circo mundial y hay quien acude a diario allí a vomitar. No hace hoy un día precioso para explosionar. Ven ya que aquí estamos a salvo, hoy esta nueva canción. Y en cuanto termine, que siga la resituación.
Okay, so we are here in Madrid with some people who take part in the housing struggles in Spain, and we have set ourselves to talk about this theme for a little bit. As one of the central neoliberal strategies of today's Europe is the strong accumulation of empty houses all over the Europe. There are 11 million houses empty, which is more than enough to house twice over the homeless population of Europe. Spain is one of the countries which has most of these empty houses. So maybe we could start talking about Spain's case. How has been the mortgage loan bubble in Spain, and how has it affected the population?
In Spain, the economy, the neoliberal economy during the last 10 years was based on the housing building economy. So for more than 10 years, all the employment, most of the employment and all the economic process that of enrichment of this country was based on the, building houses that were not that afterwards sold to people in Spain on a very high prices, and that also contribute to the mortgage and to the debt market, which was the most interesting part. So it was a market composed by two parts. For in one side, the banks that were happy to give credit and mortgages to people that couldn't, that they knew that wouldn't be able to pay it if there was no jobs in Spain, and that was way over their monetary power for paying these mortgages. And in the other side, this whole economy that was based on the building industry, which was, of course, totally empowered by the government that said that the growth of Spain and the wealth of Spain was always based on buying houses. So this political strategy was, it was not something that the Spanish population, it was not our culture buying houses. The most important thing, it was totally incentivated by the government to buy houses to empower these two industries. So in 2007, when the crisis started in the United States, banks decided to stop giving money to this industry of the housing. So all these people fired, all the people that were working in those in that industry, which was most of the middle lower class in Spain. So suddenly that revokes to them. All these people can't pay these huge mortgages that inflates, and that's when the bubble implosionates. So since 2009 to now, all these people that loses their jobs cannot pay their debts with the banks. They cannot pay their mortgages, and the main problem in Spain is that we have a very curious mortgage law. That means that even when, if you lose your house to the bank because they own it, because you own them the mortgage and you are not paying it, you stop paying the mortgage and they will keep the house, but you will keep the debt. So that's we're the only country in Europe that has this kind of law, and this is what's been the huge injustice in this country. So that's why we're getting self-organized with all the people that are suffering this injustice in what we call the platform of mortgages people affected by mortgages.
Okay, and that would be the second point. So could you please tell me what do you consider that are the most important key practices and strategies of this platform? How has it been able to gain such a strong hold of what has been until now controlled by the banks and by the public public policies that are mostly seen as not representative of the population anymore?
Yeah, the most important thing of the beginning of the platform was that it was talking and dealing with a problem that happened to everyone. It was not an activist story. It was not something that was organized or that activists or people already with a conscience was suffering, but it was everyday people were losing their houses. So the first thing was to self-organize these people and to empower them to believe that this situation was really unjust, and that they had the right to stop paying their debts, to lose their house, but to lose also their debts and be able to have a house, because that's a basic human right. So those are the three points. If you lose your house, you have to also lose your debt, and everyone has a right to a house. At the beginning of the 5 years ago, the most important point of this movement was to empower all these people that were very scared and very alone, because housing, even though it's a human right in all the international charts of human rights, right now in Europe, in every country in Europe, it is not a human right. It's a merchandise. Mm-hmm. It's something for private that you share, you organize with your family on your own. It's not a collective problem. It's not something that you share with your community. So that was the first thing to change. So the platform, what did was to put all these people together and to show them that there was a lot of people having the same problem. So talking between each other about why was the process of losing their houses and reclaiming to lose also their debts, through this process was the empowerment process too. And when that was already walked and that was already done, we arrived to a group of people that were very empowered and very conscious of the rights, who could really go by themselves to the bank to reclaim those rights, and also go to the public administrations to tell them, you're not doing what you should do to preserve my human rights for housing, but you're doing the contrary, you're preserving the rights of the banks. So that was the main importance of the platform at the beginning. After that, the platform grew for these 5 years, more than 200 platforms in the whole country. And we think that the main three demands that we are still standing for are that all evictions are stopped, because no one should be kicked out of the house, because everyone has the human right to be in a house. And here in Spain, we are suffering really a humanitarian crisis of people without a house, living in the streets when there are thousands of empty houses. Second thing, that when you lose your house, you have to lose your debt, and you should never be paying for life that debt that enables you to have another job, enables you to redo your life. And third thing, that we think that the government is the responsible for having an active politics on public and social housing. And they are not doing them. They are protecting the banks, and they are not protecting the rights of the people. So those are the three things that we demanded when we asked for a modification of the mortgage law, that actually this government that has a majority in the parliament did not pass, because we live in a dictature in this country. So we're still fighting for those three things, and that's what we're doing in our own hands without waiting for this administration to do.
Yeah, we already are coming close to this point. That is the third question, that the struggle for housing forms a part of a wider scale struggle for real democracy and for the management of the common resources, of which housing could be understood as one, right? So could you help me to position the struggle for housing in this wider scale struggle for democracy that has been more than present in the political movements of Spain after the 15M?
What we've realized fighting for housing is that are three main things. It's that we don't live in a democracy, of course, we live in a regime, anti-democratic regime that doesn't hear what people are saying and claiming. That we showed to all the people of Spain when we presented this modification of law. And that's clear when it's the police that is a public administration, and are the all the public administrations are the ones that are kicking people out of their houses and evicting people. So we don't live in a democracy. But these institutions that are ruling this country, they are not their own. They are zombies. They are ruled by banks. They are the ones that are giving the mortgages, that are kicking people out of their houses, and they are ruled by political strategies decided in Europe, in Brussels. So we know that there are three main responsibles of what's going on in the housing problem in Spain, and in most of the problems. There is not a democracy here. There is not a democracy in Europe, and there are some really mothers, people that have no morals in the banks, and is the economical power, that we have to stop them from doing this. So these are the three enemies that we clearly know that they are there, and we should, all the people from Southern Europe and from all Europe in general should unite, and all these struggles in different sectors should unite and know that these enemies are common, and that what we really need is to identify what are our rights, what are our commons, and which are our enemies, and fight for that, and try to get a real democracy now.
One more extra question. As you are well saying, that one of the problems in national as well as in the European level is not identifying the enemy, not knowing where the enemy is. I would like you to tell a little bit about the campaign of Scratches that was done by this platform, as one of its main points was exactly to see where the enemy is and work from there, as not to only think as an abstract enemy of the banks.
One of the main, I think, success of this of the platform was to knowing and identifying, as you said, who are the enemies, and that those enemies can be touched. So I think, like, going before the strategy, knowing that the banks are the main responsible for what people are suffering and people are being evicted, and going to the banks directly to talk to them and to pressure them and to negotiate with them about these houses one by one is one of the main ways of pointing out who are the responsible for what's going on here. This campaign was done when we presented this reform from the mortgages law in the government of Spain. We recalled more than 1,500,000 signatures from people in the whole country asking for this change. It got to the parliament, and it was accepted that it was discussed in the parliament and voted. The problem in Spain is that there is a majority of the PP, of the Popular Party, in the government, so there is no way to discuss anything because they have the absolute majority. So what we decided was to... So actually their final responsibility was on their side, for sure, because they were the only ones that could vote yes or not to this new legislation. So we decided to go to the place... We decided to go to their houses and to tell them and to show them what were the real suffering of the people that are getting evicted from the houses. So these people went to their houses and explained them and tried to talk to them. I'm losing my house with my two children. I'm losing my house with my whole family. Please vote yes to this change of law. It is an emergency. We cannot keep going like this. And you have a moral and a political responsibility for it. So I'm taking this problem to your house. We did this huge campaign that it was called Yes They Can But They Don't Want to Vote Yes. We were very criminalized and very, we were called all kind of horrible stuff. But even though they had a huge campaign of saying that we were terrorists and that we were going too far with this campaign, most of the people of Spain, 70% of the population of Spain, agreed with this campaign and it still supports what the platform is doing and the demands of that mortgage law change. So it's a way of pointing the enemies are not huge corporations or not like capitalism or huge ideological ideas. The enemies are people that live and rule over lives. There are banks, and they are in Brussels, sitting in a European Parliament, and those are the people that we have to point.
¿Y viene más cena o estamos con los bocadillos?
No, la cena a veces.
Pero
que
ahora
sí,
¿en serio?
Claro, que
junto
con
el
que está
recibiendo
la luz, pero...
Aquí hay pedazos de coco con miel. No son muy buenas, la verdad. Yo tengo que cambiar la idea.
¿Qué es?
Coco.
Ah, es coco.
Pero está hablando en inglés, está hablando.
Se compra en lata. En lata, luego le dejo al agua.
Ay, ya va. Hablando.
Ay,
a mí tampoco.
No tiene
mucho
sabor, ¿eh?
No tiene
mucho
sabor.
No tiene mucho sustancia.
Uy, no me gusta nada.
No.
Nada.
Bueno,
para no
hablar bien poco, no me gusta.
Es que no es coco, estoy
No tiene nada de sabor.
No tiene nada de sabor.
Parece una cosa.
No, pero no es que no tenga sabor, es sabor fino.
Tiene la chiripa del coco.
A lo mejor con chocolate.
No, puedo ver.
El chocolate es lo que lleva para la montaña, para que no pase el frío.
¿Pero es de sangre?
No, 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 no,
no, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
no,
no,
agua.
Que no, de momento no.
Bueno, de momento, agua, tabaco.
De momento no.
La luz, dile que necesitamos la luz.
Necesitamos luz.
Dame un metro de agua en la sala.
Ya que os ponéis, oye, yo lo digo.
Vamos para Villana.
Muy bien.
Venga, hasta ahora.
¿Tienes pizza?
Claro, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no. O a lo mejor sí, a mí me lo regaló. Fíjate si hay.
Me pongo ahí encima de la pacata y tal, para que no se me ensucie mucho saco.
No, yo sí. para sudar, nos viene. Igual no me empujo la chanda al lado. Yo lo digo porque
la mala cara que es tanto de la madera, ¿no?
¿Qué me está grabando?
No, claro, aquí está muy bien, yo creo.
Yo le digo por la
verdad.
Hola,
¿qué tal?
Pero bueno,
tenemos
cuatro,
¿verdad?
Tú sabes todo. Sí, además ahora, yo estoy, ahora ya me levanto y ya es de noche, tío, todavía sin
normal. Ya, es verdad que ha durado un cambio de hora, sí. ¿A qué te has despertado tú?
Pues de día a las 7, no suelo levantar a las 7 y media o a las 8.
Pero mañana lo digo.
Mañana tengo que llegar. Pero ya se me viene a quedar 7 y media.
Para de aquí al metro, ¿cuánto tiempo hay?
Nada,
5 minutos. Todo de siempre.
A las 10 tengo clase.
Yo podría salir el mismo en la fiesta. Tengo que montar un programa de radio.
No puedes.
Que sí, tengo que hacerlo.
No puedes.
Estoy grabando ahora mismo.
Se ha quedado humillado diciendo, ¿eh? Como ha dicho.
Que sí.
Lo que pasa es que sí.
Es tu programa.
Ah, es una radio de allí, ¿eh?
Sí. Los emigrados de aquí. En Suecia hay muchos chilenos, por ejemplo.
¿Alguien habla inglés?
Yo,
yes.
Hello, tú de Finland, people.
Sí, claro. ¿Con quién? Incluso, claro, si queréis, os lo hago en castellano.
We are the world, we are the world.
Ay, no, yo estoy haciendo en inglés. Me está haciendo en inglés.
Pues
bueno, hacemos
media,
un poco menos, ¿no?
¿Y la Manola,
qué
tal va?
Muy bien, muy bien. Han perdido el cautelar, pero el juez ha dicho que ha pedido que declaren las personas identificadas. Sí. Y el jueves tuvimos una reunión con la Caixa en la que pedimos que quitasen la denuncia. Dijeron que no, porque quedaban desamparados por lo que podría pasar. O sea, si yo me he sentido, la Caixa, si no ha denunciado, es responsable de la seguridad. Es por eso pedimos que quitasen el cautelar. Y dijeron, ¿qué es eso? ¿Sabemos nada de leyes? Tal, eso son cosas del equipo de abogados, pero no. O sea, quizá el abogado, porque no. Es muy contradictorio que estéis hablando de buena voluntad y negociando por un lado y por el otro pidiendo al cautelar.
Claro.
Entonces, lo único que nos pudimos llevar fue que Jaume, que es de la Caixa de Barcelona, lo iba a llevar a la reunión que tienen mañana. Pero vaya, fue una reunión que amenazaron con levantarse la mesa y así. Sí, y les enseñamos...
Los tienes hablando ellos,
que se han perdido, chicos.
¿Cómo se han perdido?
Y les enseñamos informes de la
gente.
Y dijeron que ahora sí estaban como avalados por trabajadores sociales, decimos que sí, pero dijeron que
allí en la Villana he cogido la gracia de la Villana porque ya tenemos una hora con un
mundo y ahora no lo están, o sea que están por la Villana.
No sé dónde están por la mañana.
Es que de verdad, mira que es un informe de tu situación.
Son de varias
horas.
Claro, tú vas allí y mira, pues.
¿Y aquí puede dar?
Sí, son preguntas como. Pues para pedir unas
preguntas.
Te pregunta a ver si tienes trabajo, si tienes ingresos.
Ingresos, si has ido a los servicios sociales.
sociales, con Caritas de Cruz Roja, cómo está tu casa. Y luego explicas un poco el caso, importantes. Pero bueno, en las dentro de lo que hemos visto ha sido como engordarlo mucho. Yo, por ejemplo, en mi ficha soy una estudiante precaria que estudia dos carreras a la vez, cuyos padres están lejos y solo pueden pagar los estudios. Soy epiléptica con convulsiones frecuentes. Que yo tengo epilepsia, pero todo lo engordas mucho más.
Hay casos que no están de engordar, ¿no? Pero los casos de estudiantes, no sé, ¿sabes? Yo qué sé, Eva, por ejemplo, que es mi vecina, no vive con su hijo, pero ha puesto vídeo con su hijo, yo qué sé.
Ya. Yo tengo la carne del 6 a 2 y medio por mí, por loco.
Pero eso
de ese informe, ¿quién lo ve luego?
En este caso se lo enseñamos de la Caixa, pero sin nombres.
Por depresión.
Ah, vale.
Yo dije que tenía depresión y me dio el carnet de drogaría.
Pero eso lo has hecho
en
el informe de trabajo social. A ver, esas fichas las hicimos nosotras.
Vosotras, claro.
Pero
es que el trabajo social que tiene que poner. Que
claro, es que lo suyo es que te haga un trabajo social y si puede ser de una institución oficial, mejor.
Sí, claro, sí, perfecto.
Pues tú vas a ir.
Déjame hablar. Esto ya es, ¿a quién va dirigido? Porque me preguntan a quién va dirigido.
¿Pero al banco social te preguntan eso?
Sí, es al banco para que me dé una
ayuda social. Sí, ya lo hicieron en su día.
No, pero no a tu banco.
Mira, de todas formas,
para negociar el alquiler social, tiene que estar a pedir un alquiler social.
Claro, pero de todas formas,
al dueño de este piso.
En tu ficha no pone a quién va dirigido, es tu ficha.
Pero es que dice que el trabajo social le está preguntando a quién le
dice. Vale, tú le dices al banco porque voy a pedir un alquiler social.
Estoy ocupando una casa porque no tengo casa.
Y
le cuento
la situación, y
él resume y. Lo que te dice ya que. Si puedes exagerarlo para mal,
vale,
exagéralo.
Sí,
vale.
Claro.
Y pues algo que haya. Sí, pero puedes decir, por ejemplo, que de tu casa que ya tienes la fecha de desahucio.
Lo mejor exagerar.
Que no la tienes, ¿no?
Que pues, dice que también viene a las 8, paso, pero no sé si se está distribuyendo entre los dos bloques, la gente que está viviendo
por la mañana. No sé, yo le he dicho a Bea que venga aquí porque de aquí tenemos que salir muy temprano alumnos. Y decía que solo puede de las 8 hasta 12. Así que bien que venga aquí.
Referencia de
alquiler social
de
vivienda. Ya.
Yo tenía que ir a 7:30, Roberta. ¿Qué es esto? Es que no veo nada, lo importante.
Dice anclaje a red activo, zona wifi. Toca para. No tienes que hacer nada.
Ni tocarlo.
No, ni tocarlo.
Lo que pasa es que tengas el papel con la del sello, ¿sabes? Que las pidas.
Vale.
Y que te la sellen.
Dani, ¿esto lo estás teniendo como basura? ¿Como maricero?
Sí,
como
basura,
que sea que
basura,
vale.
Sí, será todo.
Punto con
¿Qué que también me han dicho
las gafas que están en casa de Irene, dice el padre.
A ver, lo suyo es
que no ve nada.
Que sea fin.
Ya decía yo. La conozcamos de algo.
Lo suyo es que hagáis todas las fichas a la vez con un trabajo de.
Que me las estrella ahora mismo que no veo.
¿Sabes?
A ver
si los casos.
Que no, voy por tacto.
Que haga varias.
Todas las
que hagan.
Todas las
que hagan.
Todas las
que hagan.
Todas las
que hagan.
Todas
las
que hagan.
Todas tienen que tener una, si es posible.
Claro.
Claro, que la
sacan
de la casa.
Mejor. Pero bueno, nosotros llevamos
que. Nosotros llevamos que. Toma nota, Pedro.
Toma nota.
Y que nos han dicho lo de centro que también esta semana.
¿Una sudadera gris?
Ah, ¿y
una sudadera gris en casa de Irene? ¿Es de alguien?
De Pau, a lo mejor, ¿no?
Ah, igual es de Pau.
Esta semana no.
O está en casa, el jersey está aquí.
Que otra cosa muy importante que la Manuela no hemos hecho, pero que viene muy bien ahora a negociar, es que hagáis fotos del antes y el después.
Vale.
Todos los aparatos
de la
casa.
Sí,
de las casas.
Si yo tengo un radiador, tengo que haber hecho el buen hacerlo para que.
Bájatelo y mira a ver si vale con el móvil de que lo
haga. Es bueno hacerlo,
vale,
bajarlo
a
ver si
lo
haga
con
nosotros.
Claro.
Que sepan que ya están así cuando hemos
entrado.
Vale, que baja ya.
A los medios, yo creo que.
El picaporte está en la esquina de la izquierda, en el suelo.
Sí.
¿Te acompaño?
Sí, hay tiempo. Thank you.
Nàixer pa morir és l'única certesa. Si cau el futur, inventem present. El nostre present i la seua potència. A cada moment, tota la eternitat, la llibertat me la done jo amb els meus.
Omplim la vida de vida, un cos que vibra.
Juntes no tenim por.
Morres dia a dia, fluint armades.
Juntes ho podem tot. No sabem el com, qui ni quan o l'on. It can flow, it can crash. És la pulsió vital. Fites, errors, foc en els motors. El taxista full, el Nahual Don Juan. La incertesa no se pon, és el sol de mitjanit. El regal del temps que ens ha tocat viure.
Por a la incertesa, por als carrers, a la mort, por al càncer, a la sida, por a la feina, por a la por i al papiloma, por als diners, a la crisi, al clima. Ic, aic, oc, d'una vida que cal viure. Corre riscos, corre lluny, corre, 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 forres, corre!
Exàmens, però sols es presentarà un perquè l'altre és d'inglès i està en contra del plurilingüisme i l'ensenyament de llengües que manifesta Margarida Cambra. És per aquest motiu, no perquè no tinga ni puta idea d'anglès. Sols sap dir New York Herald Tribune, New York Herald Tribune, per primar d'orris, simulant el final de l'escapada com que siguin una pel·lícula de Godard.
Wait, test, test. I think it's this side. Cool. Okay. So, good morning from one of the recuperated buildings of Vallecas, of Paz Vallecas. We are having the first breakfast with Bea. And Bea will explain a little bit about what the obra social of La Paz is about.
Good morning. La obra social of the PA is a campaign to recover buildings, empty buildings, owned by banks that have get money from the state because of the crisis. So the government and the traditional parties are doing nothing for the right of housing of the population, and they are giving money to the banks, who are guilty of the situation of the country. So the platform of affected by mortgage have this campaign to make the right of housing real and to point to the banks and to the government to enforce them to do something for this right of the people. We have recovered now three buildings in Vallecas. They are by the Sareb, that is the bad bank, the bank, public, private bank, who has a lot of toxic assets of the bubble. Another one by Bankia, that is the all an old public bank, that they were called Cajas de Ahorros. They were managed by politicians, and they have made a very bad management of them, so they crashed in the crash of the economy, and now they were rescued by the state. So also there are public money in this bank called Bankia. And another one is by Banco Sabadell, That is also one of the bands that have that had an important role in Trelones and in the Bubble. So we think that it's like an enforcement of the of our right of housing. We hope it will be useful for the movement to get our rights back and to get some justice from the government.
And you, Bea, also have been working with the theme of public debt, the sovereign debt. So it's true, and maybe you can tell a little bit more how do you see it? I mean, how do you see that the struggle for housing rights connects with the question of public debt?
Yes, in the case of Spain, it's very clear, because the public debt was not very high before the crash of the bubble, and the growth of the public debt, the sovereign debt, was after the rescue of the banks. So it was the money that the state put in the banks and the doubts by the markets if the state would be able to maintain a stable economy, what made that the prima de riesgo?
I will tell it to you when I, yeah, when I remember.
This rate of the price of the government of the state get the money in the international system. This rate growth a lot, and the state had problems to get money to funding itself. So the state has been, the debt has grown a lot. So there is a direct relationship between these crash, bank crash, and the sovereign debt in Spain. Another thing is that in August, 2 years ago, the traditional parties, the biggest traditional parties, they changed the constitution to put the debt the first thing to pay by law. So now in our constitution it said that we have to pay first the debt and then the rest of things for the population, for example, the public services and all of that. So we can say that it was like a coup d'etat, really, to put the pay of the debt that we say it is illegitimate, because it was a very corrupt process. The way the banks get the money and the way the building enterprises and all the sector get the money. Also, the mortgages have been accused of being a no legal process, because the houses were, the price of the houses was put in a higher level than it cost, that they cost. Because of the banks that was the ones who lent the money. So also the European Tribunal of Justice have said that there are very things not clear in the process of the mortgage. So even also both the private debt with the banks and these coup d'etat by the traditional parties who make the country pay first this debt, it's all illegitimate process, so we say we are not going to pay the debt.
Sorry to miss it. With the coup d'etat, did you refer to the memorandum or some other change in the constitution?
No, in the constitution there is a new article that said that the debt is the first thing we have to pay. And it was a measure made in August, that in Spain are holidays, so everybody is thinking another thing. And it was not in the program of neither of the two parties. So, and it was not a public discussion about, of course not a referendum, but it is such an important thing that the traditional parties made alone without any of public discussion. So it's why we say it is a couple of that, because it changed very deeply the structure of the state and the budget and everything. And the traditional parties, the biggest traditional party, make it without the consent of the population.
So that's why people started to get organized with all their first individual problems that then have became shared and common. How has it been from your point of view to come until this point that we now have the three buildings?
Yeah, at the beginning, the first reaction of people when they can't pay the mortgage longer, they feel very ashamed and very guilty because they think they did wrong by themselves, and also because, I don't know, estafa or...
That's like... Yeah.
It is not a fair process, but the people think that they were silly. And they had to read better the contracts of the mortgage, so they feel that they were silly. So some of them don't move themselves or don't mobilize themselves and stay at home alone, thinking that they were very silly because of the mortgage they signed. But when they get to a meeting or they know about a platform, or perhaps by TV or because of the assemblies in the neighborhood, they see others that have made the same, and also because of the research of the illegitimacy of the process, they see that it was not a fair process, that they are not so guilty. They had a good will of pay the house to live, and it can be pointed at as a stupid thing. No? People need a house, and the other way to get a house was through the credits, and everybody does the same because it was the only way. So they feel themselves stronger, they empower themselves in the meetings, and we have been fighting for stopping the evictions, and also trying to negotiate better for the two main claims of the platform are the deduction in payment, that is, you can give your house and you get no loan on it, and also the social rent, that is that your rent in your house has to be proportionated to the income you have. So we have fought together against eviction and for this payment, deduction in payment and the social rent. So in the group, in the neighborhood of Vallecas, we know each other better and better, and we have fought a lot of times for each one, but also in general campaigns, as the popular legislative initiative that was an attempt to put a law about these topics in the parliament. We also got like 1.5 million of signs to get this law in the parliament, and we fought, as I said, also both for personal situations and both for a change of the structures and laws of the country. So the platform fights in these two levels, and when we saw that the government and the parties, they were going to do nothing for us, for our right of housing, that is his duty, is not an option for them. It is written in the Constitution, it's about our social pact, it's not only about election each 4 years. The social pact, the Constitution, this democratic regime, it includes the rights, social rights, that they are not enforcing. So in that point is when the platform and also our group of housing in Vallecas decide to take the house back, the empty house of the rescued bank, to the people.
So this is like the next level, so to say, because this legislative... This popular legislative initiative was, I understand, the strongest in the history of Spain post-transition. And it was nonetheless blocked by the governing, the ruling parties. So the next level is the next level in the sense that this putting those laws or this proposed law into practice by the people themselves.
Yes, it is. Yes, and now with the European election, it's likely we are going to take the campaign again against the politicians that voted no to this initiative that was signed, as I said, by half a million and a half of persons, but also has the support of the 80% of the population. So it was another time, everybody, it was so clear that the government is not really ruling for the people or for the will of the people, but in the interest of the banks and the elites that are the guilty of the situation of the country. Also because the government is not implement any economical measure or program or plan to change the situation of the country and the population. The economical structure is so oriented to the real estate sector that very important structural change have to be made to change this specialization of the country to another kind of economics, and they are doing nothing but cutting the social rights, cutting the social budget, and appear as very obedient to the markets and the banks to make that the country seem trusty for them. But they are not making these structural changes that perhaps can improve the situation in some term.
And there are many people participating also in Pavallecas that have history in social centers. I would like to ask, how do you see that the movement for housing rights is changing the forms of militancy? I mean, of the movement of occupying spaces, for example.
Mm. Interesting thing of the movement for housing in the platform is that it is mestizo one, is a mixed one, people from different countries. In Spain there was a huge wave of migration in 2000, also because of the bubble and the needs of workforce for build the buildings in the bubble. It was many people came to Spain, and many of these people 10 years before they are after. Some of them, they are Spanish now, Spaniards with the nationality, other not, they are still migrants with different permissions of being here. But overall people from Ecuador, Peru, also Bolivia, they are very important for the movement. So the movement of housing there are Spanish people, but also migrant people in this movement, and I think that this has been an interesting input for that. The way you see the things you shoot in at the streets, and I think it's a very good thing to fight together in this struggle. Also, the important thing of the platform, as I said before, is this combination of different ways of politics. We have this mutual aid, no, in the buses. I help you to stop your eviction, you help me, and we go together to the bank to say something. This mutual aid. Also the direct action, that is stop the eviction in the door, at the streets, is going to the branch of the bank and stay there till we have an answer, is going to the politicians to point them and say that they have to do something about that, this level of direct action. And then the level of the state level or low level, for example, the initiative in the parliament. So I think that the platform, this movement of house for housing, has innovated in the ways the movement confront the power and the situation through this multi-level struggle.
If we think that that this is somehow the level of putting things into action ourselves when we are faced with the fact that the government will not listen and not do any changes, what is the next level from that? What is the, I mean, I'm thinking of the question of how to formalize and systematize the practice of taking the buildings of the rescued banks into use. What do you see in that level? What do you think it will be on the practical level?
Really, we have to be very imaginative in this sense. We would like to develop some kind of protocol of collective rent houses, for example, because in Spain there were not a lot of social housing, but everybody knows the limits of this model of social housing. So in property, in the most of the cases, I think that very interesting thing would be develop another kind of social housing. How would we manage with these social houses if we get it? It would be rent or property or common rent, this thing of the social rent also, and some degrees of self-management of these houses, people to be responsible of the houses they live, and all these kind of thing that imagine new ways of make real the right of housing and the social housing. I think that is one thing the movement have to develop. If they don't do, nobody's going to do. So we have to also think what we want in a long term, in an institutional term, and fight for them. You know, there are elections in Spain, European elections this year, but next year we have municipal and state election. So perhaps we could have these proposals clear to discuss with different parties and to struggle it at the streets to make it real. Also, you know, with the 15 May, the population said very clear that they thought that we think that this is not a democracy in Spain, that we want a real democracy and we want it now. And these claims, these reclaims, and now there are not so many mobilizations at the streets, but I think that the people still think the same. And with the institutional bloc, the parties don't do anything. Different ways are being taking places. There are new parties in the state, and there are also new movements that want to put the democracy again in the agenda. This movement, as the Movement for the Democracy, for example, and the Movement for Housing, we have to fight together, because in the housing movement we know that we have to change also the structure. That is now one house here, one house there, one eviction stopped, another there. We need structural changes. And for that, we have to change the regime and the state structure to get more direct democracy and to make our rights real. So the struggle in the next year, we think it would be very important and deep.
Thanks, Bea.
Thank you.